No, it's Just Plain Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly. Take me to the pilot, lead me to the tamer.
Take me to the pilot. Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me, along with Captain Ed. We are your crew today for Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. Ed has a new certification. He got an award. No,
it's not an award.
It's ATP, which stands for Award.
Airline Transport Pilot.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
It's,
exactly.
It's the highest level pilot certificate. But what Keith has had for years to be an airline captain.
Keith has always been much higher than you, is what you're trying to say.
Well, just standing next to each other.
True.
You can tell
physically,
he's much higher than me.
Yeah.
By about a foot.
He's kind of like a Sasquatch. I can say that because he's not here today to beat me to a bloody pulp. Oh, well, that's true. All right. So we don't have Keith with us, but we have our newly certified Captain Ed with his ATP and helping us out today from AOPA is Tom Haynes as well. Tom, welcome to the show. How are you, buddy?
I'm well, guys. Great catching up with you. Congratulations, Ed. That's a really big deal. You're right. That is the top of the heap. Don't go any higher than that with an ATP. So
yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, but in my normal fashion, I procrastinated. I was probably eligible for this.
Well,
25 years ago.
Procrastination. Where did you pick up these bad habits?
From you?
Yeah. I had a feeling it's
contagious.
I'd rubbed off on Captain Ed slightly there.
No, like
so
I say,
you're welcome.
I've been qualified for about 25 years, just haven't bothered to do it. And then the rules changed about 2 years ago.
Yeah,
where they were, and we talked about it on the show where they were requiring a much more advanced ground training before you take your ATP written. So I got it done July last year, and then I said I'm not going to wait till the last minute or July of 2 years ago. I'm not going to wait till the last minute to get the flight training done. And then every time I went to do it, something came up. So here I am. My written was expired. At the end of July, so I finally got it done.
WWGD. What would Greg do?
Exactly. Greg would let the written test expire and have to go through it again. That's what Greg would do.
Well, just because... because I want to know what the new system is so I can be that guinea pig for our Just Plain Radio listeners.
And, okay.
That's a noble cause, right?
Yeah.
And I think I can beat you from the procrastination standpoint, though.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
For my private pilot check ride, took the written, and it expired on April 30th. I took the check ride on April 29th.
Oh, yeah.
So had I failed and the weather not been good on the 30th, I would have been really in deep doo-doo and had to take the written again.
And that was where my stress was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the week leading up to the check ride, had the check ride scheduled. The week leading up to the check ride, started doing some flying,
mm-hmm.
and we were experiencing some aircraft maintenance issues. The flaps didn't want to come up sometimes.
No flaps.
No. They were down, and they wouldn't come up.
Mm.
So here we are with full flaps trying to fly back from the practice area. That's a little bit of a problem. It was mm-hmm. manageable, but, it was a little bit of a problem. They won't come up on command. So they replaced the flap motor the day before the check ride. They got that done, but then they had a problem with the sensor that's part of the indicating problem. And the earliest they could get one was, and this was Friday.
Yeah.
And the test was on Saturday. The earliest they can get a part was Monday.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. So
that's a problem.
I go into, crisis mode. So knowing people in aviation, you've been working in the business for a while, I just start making phone calls. And I found another school in our area who had the same type of airplane, a Duchess, that was down for maintenance, long-term maintenance, probably 3-4 months. I said, do you by chance have this part? And they're like, yeah, we can pull. And I explained what was going on. We've been in that situation before. I'll have somebody pull it out, and it'll be at the front counter in an hour. So I fly to Kissimmee, pick that up from my good friends at Sun State Aviation, bring it back to our mechanic. He gets it in the airplane at about like 5 o'clock Friday night. Now, of course, I couldn't test fly it, so Saturday morning I go test fly it on my way to the flight test, which is at 8 a.m.
Uh-huh.
And, I'm in the practice area, flaps down for a slow flight. They come back up, flaps down for stalls. It comes back up. I'm happy. the airplane works. This is going to get done.
Sure.
The weather's good. We land. I go in. I do the oral. And, you know, it's typical oral, a couple hours long.
Yeah.
We come out. We pre-flight the airplane. We take off. And I told the examiner what we went through just to get there that day with the airplane. And, and he was, you know, he's like, yeah.
You know what? You're passed. You went through all that aggravation.
No, not that quite. Now, Tom knows the examiner, the same examiner that he spent some time with when he did his commercial. So
he's a hard ass is what you're saying.
No, but he's not going to let you slide on anything either.
Right. Well, that's the definition of hard ass, I believe, if you look it up on Google. Yeah.
But so, you know, we get out when you're flying, we're doing maneuvers, and we come to the power off stall. So I do the power off stall, you know, stall, recover, throttle up, reach over, flap switch, then reach over, pull the gear up. And I look back over, the flaps aren't coming up. I look outside, the flaps aren't up.
No!
And right now, I would say something that you would have to bleep out, is what I said.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to say that now.
Because I don't have the delay going today. Yeah. We don't have that.
Yeah. Well, I'm from the FCC.
Yeah. So I will refrain from what I actually said.
Okay.
But I was a little discouraged and a little, you know, so I just, you know, said, okay, we've had this problem. This is what I was telling about earlier. And so we tried a couple things that, you know, didn't get them come up, check circuit breakers, all the standard checklist items.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, so let's head back. And we're on the way back and we're talking about it. And I said, I guarantee what's going to happen is we're going to land, pull off the runway, bring the flap switch up, and they're going to come up.
Right.
And he says, really? I said, that's exactly what they've been doing. We haven't been able to figure out why. We've replaced almost every component in the system. And so he's like, that's unbelievable. And so we get back, and that's exactly what happens. He says, you got to be kidding me. I said, I know. And he said, but I said, we go back up. It's not reliable. He said, no, I know. You know, we're both trying to look for ways to do it. Well, and we said, well, the Sun Air, the people there, the place that we use the Aero at, that we use for Tom's training,
right?
They have a Duchess, and it's a very nice Duchess. And so we went in, and Brian, the owner, was there. And of course, I know him because we use his Aero, and the examiner knows him because he actually rents the Duchess from him.
Mm-hmm.
Said, hey, can we, anybody using it? No, can we have it for the rest of the day so we can get these check rides done? And he said, sure, not a problem. So mid-check ride, I'm switching airplanes from a standard gauge Duchess with, you know, a GTN 650, which is kind of nice.
Right.
But no autopilot. Electric trim doesn't work because the autopilot's disabled. So, okay.
Yeah.
You know, to a Duchess that has electric trim, has an autopilot, has a GTN 750, which I've worked with, and then has the Aspen E1000. It's just an attitude indicator, PFD and HSI, which I've never worked with before.
Yeah.
And a JPI 960 engine monitoring system, which so all the little gauges are gone. I mean, it is a beautiful airplane.
So it's basically a...
I'm climbing in an airplane that, one, I've never flown before, and first time I'm flying is with the examiner on the check ride. So, yeah, I got these strikes going against me. I'm thinking, I would be telling a customer, you're crazy to do this.
Right.
But I was... It's a case study in poor aeronautical decision-making from a, you know, risk management, Chapter 17 of the PHAC, you know, that this is, well, boy, I'm checking a lot of those boxes off. I probably shouldn't do this.
Well, I would be thinking, hey, I'm crazy to do this, but I'm crazy. I'm good to go.
But I'm going back to what Tom was saying about his private.
Yeah.
You know, if I didn't do it now, were we going to get it rescheduled?
Nope.
I have an airplane that works.
Right.
And it's basically the same airplane.
What was the worst thing could happen? You would have,
I would have failed, I would have done a couple things over.
Yeah,
you know, so that was kind of the okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do it.
Just get up on this pony and ride that.
And we were
cowboy.
Fine. You know, it was a long day. Silver we didn't two. Get done. Started at 8:00, didn't get done until about 2:00 because of the delay. But you know, and I said, at least it'll be a good story about my check ride.
Yes.
Yeah, really. You'll remember that one for sure.
Yeah. I remember my private, too, but that's only because the examiner demonstrated a spin on it.
Nice.
Yeah, and that was the first time saw one. Yeah, on purpose.
Okay.
First time I saw one, and I also said the same thing then that I won't say now. And I was only a 17-year-old kid then.
Yeah, yeah. Once again, I don't have the delay going, so let's...
I will refrain from it.
Let's keep the FCC at bay. We can piss off the FAA. It's the FCC that we don't want to annoy too much today. Okay. But yeah, well, that is a good story, and I will file that away accordingly when I need some of those, you know, what are those, brownie points? That I, hey, Ed, remember when you screwed up and you did that on your... Hey, look at me. You know, can I do
and,
that?
And you know where where sympathy comes in the dictionary?
Where?
Between that word I can't say and syphilis.
But isn't there an ointment? No, I don't think there is. Golly. Okay. Well,
maybe a pill.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, regardless, congratulations, Ed. I'm happy for you. I know Tom is too.
Yeah.
And it's good. But will this apply to your training with him at all? No.
No. I mean, it's just one of those things that, you know, been wanting to do for years just to have it. Yeah. So I got it. It's done.
Good. All right. We're going to talk to Tom about some of his flying adventures from AOPA and then some. And, of course, we got Air Venture just a week away. That's all coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your dive safety association.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
They might tell you you're on a non-stop flight. Well, I don't think I care for that. No, I insist that my flight stop. Preferably at an airport. It's those sudden, unscheduled cornfield and housing development stops that seem to interrupt the flow of my day.
So fly with me. Yeah, fly with me. 30,000 in the skies, where you trying to be? I can take you to a place that is so exclusive. It's a view that only me, you, and the pilot see. As the clouds surround us and drown out all the troubles and sounds, touch down in the town. Open your eyes, be astounded by the sights all around. They are incredible. Itinerary printed out, baby. I'm way ahead of you.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me, along with Captain Ed today. There's a new ATP certification. Also from AOPA Live, check it out, AOPALive.org, every week online. We got Tom Haynes, who is helping us out on the show today. And, Tom, I know you've been doing a lot of crazy stuff. Last time we talked to you, you're on some aircraft carrier playing Army or Air Force or something, one of those.
That would be Navy.
Navy, yes. I knew it was one of four, right? Anyway.
Don't leave the Coast Guard out.
Yeah, I said one of four.
One of five.
Oh, yeah. I'll get it right. God bless our armed forces. All right. So anyway, what have you been up to lately? Because, I mean, you kind of dovetailed off of some of those adventures into something new and exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. What was it? We were out down to Patuxent River, Maryland, which is where all of pretty much all of Navy flight test occurs for their advanced flight and weapon systems and that sort of thing. And they use China Lake. China Lake over in California for some of that too, but
yeah,
most of it occurs in Maryland. But it was an extension of what I was doing when I was out at the aircraft carrier a few weeks ago, and went down to Patuxent River and got to land my Bonanza at Patuxent River.
Oh, cool.
Naval Air Station, which that alone is kind of neat. Bunch of insurance forms required and prior permission and blessings and sprinkles from the Pentagon and a bunch of other things. But anyhow, so that was kind of neat to land there. Mm-hmm. There was only 11,799 feet of runway.
That's awful tight for the Bonanza.
I know.
I might even be able to pull that one off.
I eked it in.
Yeah.
But anyhow, so we spent almost as much time, I think, taxiing as we did actually flying down to Patuxent River from Frederick, Maryland. But
yeah.
But we were there to get a more detailed look at this magic carpet landing system or augmented flight control system that we had demonstrated for us when we were out in the carrier a few weeks ago. And so now I got to fly it. So I'd seen it in action out on at sea where these F-18s were landing and using this augmented system. And we were standing right by the landing signal officer and got to see the guy with the paddles waving these guys in and see how precisely they could fly with this augmented system. So went to the simulator and got a chance to fly it myself. Never have flown anything like that before.
Mm-hmm.
And managed to, on the first trip around, caught the wire, flying with basically raw data without the augmentation system on. I managed to catch the wire on the first
one.
So
very nice.
Landed.
Impressed.
But then did a whole bunch of landings with the various versions of this augmentation system on and off and raw data using the HUD, which is the head-up display, not using the head-up display, day, night, did some night approaches, the ones with raw data, basically flying without any automation or augmentation. Those didn't go so well, I will confess.
Yeah.
Thank God it was similar.
Yeah, we would have gotten wet.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really fascinating. This technology is interesting for several levels, both from a military standpoint, but also from a general aviation standpoint and an airline standpoint, actually. So what happens is that you tell it how fast the ship is going. There's no connection between the ship and the aircraft from a data standpoint, unlike the automated carrier landing system, which there is communication between the two vehicles, and basically the ship provides a kind of a path, an electronic path that the airplane can fly right down to the deck.
Yeah.
The problem with that is it's very complicated. On the airplane, there has to be equipment that works. On the aircraft carrier, equipment has to work. And you're radiating. So if you're trying to avoid the bad guys and stay hidden, as soon as you start broadcasting anything, they know where you are.
Got it.
This system is completely independent of all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just software changes to the flight control system on the airplane. And you tell the airplane how fast the ship is going, and you get it lined up for the first time with the what's called the meatball, which is basically the light system that helps guide the airplane down.
Okay.
And you just lined up one time and let go the stick. And the airplane will, on its own, fly a 3.5-degree glide slope to the deck.
Wow.
Even though, remember the ship is moving away from you, you know, maybe 25 knots. And it's rocking back and forth. And so this thing is pretty amazing that it calculates all this. So all that really relieves the pilot of a lot of that paying attention to the vertical part of the flight path. Now you still have to worry about the lateral part, but you got, 50% of your mental capacity now freed up to be able to manage the lateral part of flying the airplane a lot better. So it really improves the accuracy of the landings on the carriers and greatly improves the probability that you're actually going to make it safely onto the ship.
Now, what about the speed of the boat? Of the landing strip there. So do you get that from them, or you have to figure it out somehow, or what?
Well, a couple of ways are possible. If you don't want to radiate, so if you're truly in a threat environment, most pilots can guess by the look of the wake within about 3 to 5 knots, and that's close enough.
Okay.
Or if you're not in that environment, the ship can just call you and say, hey, we're doing 22 knots or whatever.
Yeah.
In some environments, they have secured data link that they can data link up to the airplane, the information that the pilot then enters into the flight control system. So several different ways that the pilot can get that information. But it's pretty magical, I got to say. Magic carpet is a good name for it.
Yeah. Cool. When do we get in our 182?
Yeah, that's what Greg needs. Yeah. Okay. He needs that.
Definitely. I need that. I just like line it up to there's the runway. I want to let go of the stick and let it land me.
Let go of the stick, put his hands over his eyes, and scream like a little girl.
Rub a lamp and make three witches. You know, that kind of thing. Take me.
That is really cool. I think that is amazing technology.
So all you need in your 182 to make this work is a fly-by-wire system, right?
Oh, there you go.
What do you mean? Explain.
Well, you know, the flight control systems in our airplanes today or in our general aviation airplanes are all mechanical. We got pushrod tubes and we've got cables and pulleys and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Everything's mechanically connected.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there are some airplanes out there, the Embraer Legacy 450 and the 550, for example, mm-hmm. are two that come to mind, the Airbuses. And to a certain extent, some of the newest Boeings, like the 787, have fly-by-wire systems where when you move the stick, there is no mechanical connection between the stick or the yoke and the flight controls. All you're doing is telling a computer that you want a certain movement, and then the computer will direct the flight controls using hydraulic actuators to actually position the flight controls in a way to give you the response that you're asking for.
Right.
So that sounds really far-fetched. How are we going to ever get that in general aviation airplanes, right?
Yeah.
Well, think about drones. So there are some very capable drones. I'm not talking about the little $1,000 ones. I'm talking about the more sophisticated ones that have great flight control systems. Those could find their way into GA cockpits.
Well, there you go. Yeah, they make an app for that, and that's what he's saying.
The pilot app.
One of those. Yeah. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed, and helping us out today from AOPA is Tom Haynes. Now, flying by wire. So, yeah, it just means that when you put in information in the yoke, it goes to a computer. And then mm-hmm. Hal fires up and says, "All right, move those ailerons."
Yep, you got
you know, that's one way to look at it.
That's one way to look at it.
Yes, and but we don't have that yet in our general aviation planes. But it's coming, or what do you think?
Not in the light airplanes that we fly. A couple of business jets, like I said, and the Embraers have them. But we had this Part 23 rewrite, which we've talked about in the show, right?
Yep.
The changing regulations that make it easier for companies to certify new airplanes and also to certify gear to install in our legacy airplanes. And so if you think about the drone technology, the flight control systems that are on the drones that are out there flying every day, and how tiny it is, how lightweight it is, and really how inexpensive it is relative to some of the stuff like, you know, in an F-18, you can see a future where somebody could design a new airplane from the ground up under the revised Part 23 that was designed right out of the box to have a fly-by-wire flight control system.
Mm-hmm.
And once you got that in place, then it's easy to have augmented flight control systems like this and the ability for the airplane to fly itself back to the runway if it develops a problem. Also, the ability to use any flight control available to it. Let's say that, you know, you have a problem with an aileron, or in your case, a flap gets stuck down,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like you experienced, Ed?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if you had complete control, if the computer had complete control over all of the rest of the flight control systems, it could probably continue to fly the airplane safely better than you could,
mm-hmm.
Because it would take maximum, it could put all the maximum input that it needed from any of the other flight controls to keep the airplane upright and limp you back to the airport.
Hmm. Oh, I like it. Nerds, get to work. Come on. Let's go. Make this for us already, will you?
It's kind of like those cars they got driving around by themselves now, except there are fewer things to hit.
True.
That's right.
Exactly. We'd be much safer in the skies. All right, yeah. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
With Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
If you build an airplane and people are afraid of anything that flies, you can't just take the wings off of it, because at that point, all you're left with is a really slow, super expensive bus. We built an airplane, we gotta fly it.
Airplane, airplane, don't you go down today, take me away, off to a better place, you know.
This is Just Plane Radio. I am Greg, your co-pilot, along with Captain Ed, and helping us out today from AOPA is Tom Haynes. You can check out AOPA Live every week at AOPALive.org and catch up with him. And Melissa's on the road or something. I got to talk about the big party you guys had watching the Congress pass the third class, the FAA authorization. That was pretty big party. Did the booze start flowing right after that, or what?
Oh, we may have had a little champagne after that. But we had a bunch of people standing around in the lobby watching C-SPAN. Normally very exciting. So after the vote, we had a big celebration, and a lot of congratulations, a lot of work on a lot of people's part, including AOPA members and pilots across the country, who pitched in, contacted their members of Congress, and we asked them to, and really leaned on members of Congress to get this done, to see the wisdom in moving away from this very restrictive third-class medical process that seemingly, but data says, does nothing to increase safety, and move to a system that allows you to be in control of your relationship with your doctor and still provide a safe environment for general aviation. Nobody wants a less safe environment. We just want it to be less onerous.
Exactly. It was just a big pain in the ass. Let's be real. Come on.
Depends on the doctor you go to.
Yeah.
Well, right.
Somebody was making some money
there
somewhere.
Pain it is.
Yeah. But it didn't prove out to make us safer at all. It's good we've got rid of this bureaucracy. And it's
well, it's not gone yet.
Well, yeah, it'll take
some. We've got some work to do.
Well, but it's just mechanical type stuff. Everything's been approved. President signed the bill.
We still have to wait on the FAA to make the rule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you have it now, you should be good to go, right? Pretty much, if you have it
or have had it in the last 10 years back from the date the president signed the bill, once the rules are in place, which could be up to a year from now, then you're good to go.
Then you'll be once it is put into effect. But if you
may have all reality, Greg, you may have taken your last flight physical when you did the one earlier this year.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now they got to do that for the written test.
They ain't going to do that.
That ain't going to happen. Well, I passed it once, but it expired.
Good luck with that
I'm working on it. Okay. Well, that's great. And hats off to AOPA. We were talking about this last
Thanks
week on the
for
show.
Everything everybody there did. And
great work from you.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Mark Baker. I know this was his big thing, and it was great.
Good stuff. Definitely. It's a big deal because it's, you know, we had tried for a driver's license medical, like a sport pilot. Mm-hmm. Became clear quickly in the process that was never going to fly, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But what we got is actually pretty good. It's way more progressive than the petition that AOPA and EA put in back in 2012. Because we can fly a lot more types of airplanes, you know, weight of up to 6,000 pounds, up to 18,000 feet, up to 250 knots, indicated airspeed.
Instrument rating, you can get an instrument rating without it.
Yeah, exactly. IFR, VFR, day, nights, up to 5 passengers, 6,000 pounds. So that's almost all of the single, or certainly pretty much all the single engine piston fleet and many light twins.
I mean, your Bonanza falls into that category.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, that's so just to give you an idea of the size of airplane, Steve's Bonanza would work. And even now, correct me if I'm wrong, multi engine. So our good friend Steve has a G58 Baron. So this will affect him too, because he's not flying it commercially. Now, whereas me, on the other hand, I still have to do it because I'm a flight instructor and I have to carry at least a third class medical because I'm getting paid to fly. So it doesn't give us any relief, but that's no big deal. We're used to that.
You know, the one thing,
if it helps get people back into flying and get other people into flying that weren't going to get into it, it's totally worth it.
Yeah. Well, I was watching AOPA Live from last week, and I saw the interview with Mark Baker talking about that initially they were setting it up to like 14,000 feet, and the mountain flyers raised hell and told AOPA, hey, we gotta move this up to 18,000 or we're not going to be able to fly in the mountains. So, and they did. And that's just a perfect example of some of the things they had to get in there and get this right and fixed and everything. So it's excellent work, and it's, you know, your membership dues and things. They're doing good work.
I tell everybody that walks through the door, we make sure they get at least the free student trial membership and encourage them to keep it up, because if you're the only organization doing good for us.
The marketing line for your AOPA membership is, if you're a pilot and you're not an AOPA member, what the hell's wrong with you?
I'm not sure that's going to mark PC enough for him.
Is that not right?
I think the marketing guys nixed that one. It may have been kicked around.
Okay. It could be just me. All right. But, all right. Well, I know you're excited about that, and there'll be a big party, I'm sure, and that'll be the talk of the Air Venture there next week. You heading out for that big event coming up
here? You bet. I'll be heading up there as few hundred thousand other people will be out there in Wisconsin and then too.
Yeah, absolutely. But what are you looking for this year, you think, Tom? Do you got anything on your radar that you're heading out there to see what's up, you know, personally, as well as for, you know, your reporting duties for AOPA Live?
Yeah, well, I know there's at least one new business jet model that's going to be announced there, and I know some avionics companies have some big announcements that they're going to be talking about, some enhancements to their systems and some things like that. So there's going to be some news coming out of the show. You want to pay attention.
Yeah. Now, I already got the press release on For Flight 8. Did you see that, Ed?
Yep.
No, I hadn't.
Yeah, they're going to have previews of For Flight 8. That's a big friggin' deal. I have a feeling there's going to be some interesting stuff out there. I don't know when it's actually going to be released to the public. Have you heard on that, Tom? Or no?
I think it's coming right up.
Maybe in conjunction.
I think that there was some. Yeah, I think it's going to be released during the show, or maybe just right at the beginning of the show.
Okay, yeah, because I saw the press releases that you'll be able to come there and try out the new For Flight 8, but I didn't know when they were going to release it. But that'll be cool. It'll be interesting to see what new features that they're rolling out with that. But what about airplanes? I mean, have you heard more rumblings like Icon going to be doing something special there at the show to kind of, you know, reset after all the publicity they've gotten over the last few months, you think, or have you heard?
You know, good question. I don't know specifically. I was wondering what their exhibit is going to look like this year, given the fact that they announced just a few weeks ago that they're basically stretching out the certification, cutting back because they're having financial problems and need to kind of reset things a little bit. So they've always had a very big flashy presence at the show, and I'm really curious to see what they have this year, given the fact that they've said that you know, they need to be paying attention to their finances. The CEO Kirk Hawkins, I think, has been talking to one of our editors, the idea of getting together to do an interview. So hopefully we can get some answers directly from Kirk to find out what his plans are and how he plans to move forward.
Very good. Now, I haven't heard who's the big act this year either. You know, last year it was Dierks Bentley drunk on a plane kind of thing. Have you heard who they got out there at the big show this year in Oshkosh? Do you know, Tom?
I've heard, and I can't remember what it is. It's not a group that I know much about, but my kids know who it is, but it didn't mean anything to me, I confess.
Really? Okay. Yeah. We'll have to dig into that.
You know,
find out what it
is. The big thing that's going to be out there is the Martin Mars seaplane, seaplane that's going to be there. One of the largest aircraft ever built is going to be out at the seaplane base, which the seaplane base is not real big, so it's going to be interesting to see how it is to even maneuver that thing in there. Somebody said, you know, when that thing lands on the lake, it's going to raise the lake level by about 3 feet. it's a big thing.
Interesting. Okay, so they got that. And Ed, you're not going out.
No.
And Keith's not going out. We do have some roving reporters. Dennis is going out there. He's camping in a new trailer. And then we have our friends Jim and Smokey.
Yep.
And we hope to connect with them here in just a bit. Maybe we'll get a little preview because they're already camping now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I mean, go up and they volunteer.
And they're out there all set up, ready to go and do that kind of thing. But you're going out there. You're just going to fly out for a few days and do your show and zip in and out kind of thing? Or are you going to go out for the whole week?
Oh, no, I'll be there for the whole week. The whole event staff that manages AOPA's presence and entire campus out there, that group now reports to me, so I feel like I need to be out there to support them. Not that they really seem to need any help from me. They're really, really good folks. But So I'll be out there for the whole week. And
chowing down on cheese curds and things like that?
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah,
I wouldn't. That and the brats, you know.
The brats are good.
And, yeah, and the fried cheese curds.
Well, it's the it's the Woodstock of aviation with cheese curds. I don't know. It's nutty fun, but it's a place to be if you're an aviator. And we got more to talk about on that and then some on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Lobster fever is hard to kick this time of year and definitely adds fun to scuba. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share the cure to keep your lobster season safe. Scuba
Radio. This scuba tip is brought to you by Dan, Divers Alert Network. Dan helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the Dan Hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join Dan today by going to dan.org. Dan, your Dive Safety Association.
Lobster season for divers is an annual event. However, as fun as catching your own lobster dinner can be, a dose of lobster fever can easily distract you from the scuba basics like monitoring your air supply and situational awareness. So make sure you're comfortable and current with your scuba skills before adding another task like lobster hunting to the mix. Dive into Dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Watch the sky.
I like the spike with pain, and music is my aeroplane. It's my aeroplane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed, and helping us out from AOPA today is Tom Haynes. You can check him out weekly at AOPALive.org. All right, so AirVenture coming up. And I did look up the entertainment that none of us could remember who it was. And Tom's like, oh, my kids like them or heard of them. It's Third Eye Blind this year. That's a pretty big band, actually.
Yeah.
And they got some Orlando roots. Did you know that, Ed?
Who?
Yeah. That's what I thought it was going to say. And all I
can say, it's not Jimmy Buffett, generation. Okay? I don't know it.
Yeah, they also have a Survivor is going to play. You've heard of Survivor,
yeah.
Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah,
they got them playing this.
Yeah, but they come down and they play at Universal. We know that the bands are aging out when they come and play play the Wine and Festival
What are you
Epcot.
Saying? Survivor's not on the cutting edge of music?
No, I don't think they are, because I recognize them.
Well, there's also a Journey Unauthorized tribute band For the big blowout on Saturday night. And
yeah,
they'll be great.
Yeah,
I bet you.
Listen to them.
Yeah. You know, they have great acts. All of them are good. Third Eye Blind actually is a very good band. And Survivor is like an 80s throwback for you.
I don't... Third Eye Blind. Tell
Third Eye Blind? Mm-hmm. They do a lot of songs.
He doesn't know.
I've heard of them. You've heard of them, too. I just can't remember.
Come on, I'm it for me.
No, it'd be... we'll tune out more people than we normally do.
Okay.
We only got three to work with. So, Mom, Dad, my sister. Anyway, so... it's going to be a big throwdown, mm-hmm. and we're going to cover it accordingly. Next week on the show, we plan to have some people that are walking the, not the aisles, but what, the dirt paths and roads and things of this.
The grounds.
It's going to be huge, and we'll cover it as best we can here at Just Plain Radio. Now, what's some of the other stuff? You were saying Fifi's sister is not making it, or do we know?
Well, just this last week, Doc, the second B-29 to be put in the air.
Doc, that's what they call it.
It was restored in Wichita, mm-hmm. and actually was originally built in Wichita 60 years ago. It flew for the first time since, it flew last in 1956, so it flew for the first time in 60 years just last Sunday. And it is now the second flying Super Fortress in the world.
Nice. So is Fifi going to be at Air Venture?
I do believe it is.
But they can't get them both there.
Yeah. Their goal was, from everything I was reading over the last year and a half, it mm-hmm. was to get it to this year's Air Venture.
Yeah. That would be a heck of an air show, wouldn't it?
Well, and I tell you what, at some point when they're both at an air show near mm-hmm. me, or even if I have to travel to Oshkosh next year, if they're going to be there, right. I would travel to Oshkosh to see two B-29s flying in formation.
Yeah,
wouldn't that be something?
I mean, now we got to interview the pilot of Fifi when it was here in Orlando and watch it fly and mm-hmm. To see two of them at the same time, you know, that would be amazing.
Well, if they don't make it at Air Venture, it'll probably happen at Sun and Fun next year, wouldn't it?
Maybe. Hopefully.
Maybe.
But
what do you mean?
Air Venture is a lot bigger than Sun and Fun.
Well, it is, but I mean, they're probably just looking for the the weather and everything to come together.
Yeah. Yeah. They just went through a lot of stuff to get their first flight airworthiness certificate, and they were doing taxi testing. They had to negotiate with the Air Force base that they were adjacent to get to use the main runways to do the test flights, and now they've got a bunch of test flights they have to do to get the final certification, and then they'll be out on the air show circuit, I'm sure.
Got it. Understood. Now, you two were talking during the commercial break while I was doing important stuff like finding out who was going to be playing.
I find what band was playing.
And
once a radio guy, always a radio
guy. All I heard was you guys saying there was this cool thing that you expect to see at Air Venture. What is it, Tom? What were you guys rambling about?
Yeah, Garmin's got a series of announcements around some of their products, and one of the ones that I found pretty interesting as a guy who owns a couple of Garmin displays in the airplane is the FlightStream 510. And so like the GTN 750 or the 650, which is your navigator, you can basically replace the SD card that has all the navigation data that you update every 28 to 56 days. Mm-hmm. Take that out, put in this Wi-Fi enabled SD card, and suddenly you've got a Wi-Fi network in the airplane. So now you can, through the Garmin Pilot EFB on your iPad, you can download all your navigation data updates onto the iPad and use them as part of Garmin Pilot. Then you take it out to the airplane, and it senses the presence of the iPad and starts to upload navigation data from the iPad to the GTN 650 or 750.
Uh-huh.
And so no more having to take that card out and take it home and probably lose it somewhere in between and update that navigation data on through an SD loader of some sort and then remember to take it back out to the airplane. Nope, it all just stays in the airplane. And your iPad becomes the means to transport it, and you're probably carrying that with you on the flight anyhow, because you're probably going to use the app, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty cool. And then you'll probably, my guess is you're going to see that connect over to the G500 sometime soon, so that you'll also be able to update your G500 using the same process.
Yeah,
I don't
that
think
makes
that
sense.
One's quite
yeah.
quite done yet, but
well,
you can see it from here.
Because they've had the technology to take your flight plan and move it over and mm-hmm. then update your flight plan on the GTN 750 and it talks back, but that was a separate device that I think you were saying it's a 210, but this includes that as well as what you're saying. That is awesome.
Yeah, it's all that capability and more. So you can still, with this 510, you can now move flight plans, weather, and traffic if you have ADS-B back and forth between the portable device and your Panama devices, the same as the earlier flight stream systems, but now you can also do this navigation data transfer, which is quite a leap in capabilities.
Yeah. Well, you know, we do that for customers in their airplanes, and it's every 28 days. Mm-hmm. It takes us, you know, we've got probably 10 airplanes we update.
Oh, wow.
It takes us better part of the morning, you know, three. And if mm-hmm. it's a cycle where you're doing safe taxi and obstacle updates, it is half a day to
update. So you're being replaced by a computer.
I am. I have no problem mm-hmm. with that.
Yeah, there's an app for that.
There's an app for that. See?
The Captain Ed app.
Oh, God, help us.
On that disturbing note,
not replaceable.
We'll end it. Till next time, remember, there's no better high
than learning to fly.
Learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.